Hi, I'm Esmael Hillis from Hairdressing
Masterminds. Today I present you Philippe Duplessis, salon owner of Coiffure Unique, educator at Joico Belgium design team from 2000, educator within the UBK, the Federation of Belgian Hairdressers from 2011, and in business for 25 years already. Hi Philippe, welcome.
Hi Esmael.
Philippe, I'm glad you joined my show here. And can you tell us a bit about yourself and the beginning of your journey? How did you start in hairdressing?
So I will first thank you for this podcast interview.
And it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
It's my pleasure. So to tell a little bit of myself, the beginning of my journey, it all begins with the bed. I was at early times, I was studying Latin, and that was not my first language, so I stopped it. And one of my basket friends asked me if I can join him at his school. But the only thing that he could do at his school was to be a hairdresser. So it started all with the bed. And since then, it's been hairdressing all my life.
Okay, that's nice. So, what can you tell us a bit about your background, educational? How did you manage to get your education right to be able to start your own salon? Because you're in business like 25 years now. So, how did that go for you?
I started 26 years ago with my wife, the hairdresser salon that I own now in Bessenham Incorporated. And the beginnings was my journey for education was in the school. And the only thing that I missed at school was the technical side. I didn't feel it like they tell me to, like I have to feel it. So I stopped school and I begin with the hairdresser in the country. A famous hairdresser, and I did in 3 years' time. I visit 3 different hairdresser salons to know more the values and the manner of hairdressers. And after 3 years, I went to London to go to Vidal Sassoon.
Yes.
For 6 months, and that's where I all learned everything about cutting off. Hairdressing.
Yeah, Vidal Sassoon is like quite a big name, and they're famous for their very high level basic training.
Yep.
Did that influence you in your work today? Did that leave an influence behind with you?
It is still a big package to live by. It brings you always back to the basics. Everything we do, it brings you always back to the basics, and it's a good basic.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the higher I think quality educational you can find.
Yeah.
So that's quite a journey already. So if you look back on that training side, how could you say what your missions and what values do matter the most to you?
Well, from that point of view. The reason that I started a business on my own is because I have a vision of my own, and the vision that I have was to do everybody in a basic way. Not it's boring, but each time you get a basic start to people, you can, that's the foundation. And in this foundation, you can go further and further with the client. And that's why the salon name is Coiffure Unique, because everybody in the salon is unique as a person.
Yeah.
So my grandfather always says to me, do it like it's normal, because it's difficult enough. Understand?
Yes. So
each time you do something, do it normal, because if you do it advanced it or out of the box, it's more difficult than
to do it.
So it's not that my clients are boring clients, but we start always from the basics, and we listen to the clients, and from that point on, we choose a style that combines to the clients, and that's the way we always do.
Yes. So for you, the basic is like the foundation from where you build everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have your foundation and you start building from there, and then you can personalize it to your clients and to yep. see what suits her, what she needs, what she can yep. feel good about. Okay. Yep. So, and what are the values that matter to you the most when you're in your salon? What values do you matter the most?
Well, the biggest value that I always looking for is how do you say it? It's the value in hairdressing that the clients, that's the word I'm lost now.
So it's like you want to put something personal in it, Philip. Is it for you? Is it like a personal thing you would add to it?
It's something personal that the client.
Yeah, value. Your value. Yeah.
Value and the work as it is, the value.
Yeah. Yeah,
because sometimes the clients come into the saloon, and it's like you already know what they want, but that's not the way you have to take. You have to take the advice to your clients each time, even if they come every week. You have to re-advise your client what they want, what is the style that they want, what are they looking for. They go to a party, or this is just to freshen up a little bit. So the value that you give as a hairdresser to your clients, that is the thing that's my mission also.
Okay, that's already a strong mission, my friend, because it's a lot more difficult when you work on a personal level. You see, because it's more easy to make it to like a standard, and to take everybody through that standard, but it's a more difficult path you're following here. I sense when you go more on a personal level. So how can you bring that over to your staff? Do they understand your vision? Do you feel you have a challenge there?
The biggest thing that you have to be as a hairdresser is you have to be a giver for your clients.
A giver.
You have to be a giver.
Yeah.
As a hairdresser, you don't earn something before you give something.
Yeah. Yes, so I understand.
You give values to your own work, and you give values as a standard to your client, and you give the values to your own staff, then you can return something. But you have to give. You have to give always. You have to give. That's the biggest point in my life. I'm more a giver than a taker.
Yeah, because do you see it like a synchronicity there? Because a personal find also that we work in a meritocratic system, which means that you receive what you deserve. Mm-hmm. So you receive what you deserve. So, and that's very strong, because before you can receive something, you must be able to give.
Yes, you have to give.
And I think nowadays, learning to give again, or learning to give value again, it's like a challenge, I think.
Big challenge.
So you find it easy to put that on your staff? Do they understand you, Philip, when you go in that way?
They mostly understand, but you have to choose your staff very correctly in the values that you give them. You have a vision and you have a mission, and in this vision and mission you have to connect your staff with it. If they don't understand your vision or mission, it's very difficult to give something, to give value, because that's the point you lost them. See? So it's not difficult if you have all equal minds. It's not difficult to give something, to people and return and achieve it. So you have to find the people who understand what you mean, you take the same roads and go for the same values.
Yeah, you feel like so often people tell me, yes, with young people these days, they're not motivated, they don't want to work, they are lazy. And I don't find that totally. My experience is that you have to try to understand them. I think you have to try to understand them first, and then when you understand them, you can motivate them. And if they're motivated, maybe they follow the road you're going to show them. How is your feeling about that?
We are living in 2018 now, so the things are all changing in the time that we were going to school. We didn't have nothing. Now they have a cell phone, they have internet on their phone, they can look everywhere.
They have social media,
they see something, even in your clients. They are 14 years old, 16 years old, and they are showing some Instagram pictures and how they want their hair. So that's the biggest change that we have to work with. We are almost 50 years, but the things are so quickly changing. You have to go with the flow, because if you work against the flow, it doesn't work for you. So if you want to have followers in staff and in clients, you have to be knowledge of all these things at time like now. So we are living in 2018, so you have to be motivated to follow all that what they are bringing to you.
Yeah, you need to be aware. You need to be aware of it.
Aware, yes.
It's not only to be aware, you also need to understand it and to use it. That's for a lot of us a new learning curve also.
Yeah.
A new challenge also. So
it always stays with the 50% of technique and the 50% of the own feeling that you have. So the higher you get your 50% technique, the higher you can get your 50% of sense to the client.
Yeah, it's a synchronicity. Yeah. So Philip, what are your biggest goals? What are your dreams or your aspirations? What are your biggest goals for the future?
The only goal that I have now is not only personal growth but all the people around me, that they can grow in their own way, and that the clients or your staff or your children and your marriage can go in happy modus, if I can tell it like this, because the only thing that I want to do now are the things that I love to do.
Yeah, okay.
And the thing that I love to do is cutting hair.
Yes.
To be there for everybody, to be there for my clients, to be there for my staff, to be there for my family. And that is my biggest dreams, my biggest goals, and to get appreciated what we are doing. So that's the goal we all have together. So.
Yeah. So is there like an experience, like, how could I say, is there somewhere that you experienced like failure or an apparent failure, but later on that got you stronger for your success you have today?
Each failure that you get in your life, you have to look at the positive side. And that is the thing that I always do. You don't climb the mountains without falling 1 or 2 meters down. You have to climb. You have to let you down a little bit, and you have to climb again. So that's the way we always did it. And I think it will be always the way we have to do it. So failures is something we have to see. You have to see first the failure. Then you have to accept that you have made the failure, because if you know you have made the failure, but you don't have made a failure, that's the biggest mistake you already did. So you have to see that you make a failure, and you have to let it come to you that you make a failure. But each failure that you have passed, or failure that you get has to make you stronger by looking at the positive sides. You know, you can do 10 clients in the saloon, every 10 clients are very happy, but you do the 11th client and this one is not so happy with the color or cut a little bit too short. Even then you have to learn from the time being that you are in, why is it a little bit too short? Did you do a little bit less advice than you used to be? You see, so each failure that you have, I think every hour you can have a failure, so you have to look, you have to see the failure. And if you see the failure, that's only making you stronger and give you bigger success.
Yeah, it's like you need to be courageous.
Yeah.
To see your failures, in fact, you need to be courageous because it takes a lot of courage to face and to learn. Yeah. So is there an experience that gave you that aha moment? Is there an experience?
I think it's a little bit my walk in the life that I have. I think it's more in me to look at like this. I had great, great parents. They were always down to earth. And everything we did, they always said, okay, you have done it. It's very nice. It's lovely. You have done it, but you have to know, it's not always good to be the first one. You have sometimes to be the second one. In this manner, you can see how the first one do it and multiply it and make you better. Each time you be the first one, you never learn from nobody. You be the first one. So you have to be sometimes second one to see what the other one are doing.
Yeah, the first one is the one who falls the most and who gets everything over him and to learn from his own experience.
It's great to be a hairdresser of the year. It's great to be a retail award winner, and we already won 2 times the retail award, and we have already won 3 times the hairdresser's award. But it's not always to be the first that matters.
It's more about your journey.
Yeah, the journey too. The way that you did it and then see the results afterwards. And for me, 100% is not good enough. I always go for 102%, 103%.
Yes. It's like a mindset, Philip.
You have to be also glad with 98%, you see. So
yes.
I always look mostly into myself. I'm pleased with it, then I always can go further a little bit. So that's the same thing in education. If you go to education and you didn't learn something, it's not correct that you say something like this, because if you see something you didn't learn, it's because you know it probably better or you can do it differently, but you're always learning something. It's like an attitude.
Yeah, that's nice. Philip, do you feel that there is a difficulty to build a first class hair salon today in Belgium?
Well, I think in Belgium the most problem that we always have in Belgium is the price settings. So you have to be aware that the clients have to pay nice money to go to your saloon, but you have to be honest to your clients. So I think go back to the basics and be honest to yourself and give great values to yourself and your work. It won't be difficult to have a first-class saloon in Belgium if that is the thing that you want to have in Belgium. You see, so if the clients are, my clients are not complaining about the price settings, but we are always giving advice at the front of the work that we do. We always taking our time. If the client doesn't have the time, we don't start the work yet. We always look at everything is correct. And then it's not a problem, I think, to build a first-class saloon. Because a first-class saloon to a hairdresser, that can be a salon where you have 10 staff members, but it can always also be a hairdresser salon who is working alone. Eh?
Of course, of course. Yeah.
What's a first-class hairdresser salon in Belgium today?
So,
the value that you give it yourself.
Yeah. So it's an interesting point you're touching there. So when we talk about price setting, so on a regular basis, I see here and there. Like on our Facebook group with Hairdressers in Belgium, I see people ask questions about the right price setting. What do they need to ask? And sometimes it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder because I have a mixed feeling about it. Sometimes I think why are you an entrepreneur in the first place? So and at the second time I can also understand it because I really deeply understand that they really don't know how to put that price together. So you get like an interesting topic to touch here because do you think there is something we can do within the federation or is it?
It all starts with
nothing
hairdresser.
Happening there.
No, I think it starts with the hairdresser. I know which forum that you mean. I follow them also, but I never take a call in this forum because it's always difficult. It's like you say, we are entrepreneurs. We are starting a business. And in each business, you have to make profits. If you don't make profits, you don't earning money. If you don't earning money, you don't get bread on your plate and your family is not happy. So it all starts with that. If you have 1 euro expense and you can earn 1 euro and 20 euro cents, then you have 20 euro cents with your money. If you're glad with it, no problem. But if you are not glad with the 20 euro cents, you have to make it 1 euro, you see? So that's the whole discussion of this point. If they can do a haircut for 10 euros, why do they don't make it 2 or 12 euros if they don't feel like it? But they don't have to be pity about that some other hairdressers ask 30 euros for a haircut. So everybody has to look to themselves and tell themselves that I'm happy with the money that I'm earning or not. And if you're not happy, you have to do something about it. So,
if
your staff is not happy with the price that they get for working to you, they come to you. Eh? They come
of course.
To you and asking, boss, I'm not happy with my earnings. I'm looking for buying a car or I'm looking for buying a house.
Yes.
So I have to earn a little bit more. So
Of course. So do you feel that you are valued and supported as an entrepreneur or do you feel you stand alone?
Well, sometimes you stand alone, but mostly if you're looking for the right people, you're not alone. But it's sometimes difficult to do something in Belgium. I think everybody has the same feeling about it. Nobody has to work for nothing. But it's sometimes not so difficult to be some entrepreneur in Belgium, but you have to look always to the side gates that they are making for you. So sometimes you have to do more about in that manner than you have to do working.
Yeah, of course, because working alone is not going to get you where you want to be. That's correct. So you feel because that's not another important point that I would like to touch because do you feel that there has been an improvement in the way our younger generation is being educated nowadays?
If you are looking to the education that the companies are giving, technically wise, that's more improved, I believe, because I'm already been 18 years for the company of Joyful, an educator, and the growth that we have put in education is big. So yeah, I think sometimes the younger people are being great educated in school. You have great schools and you have schools who are not so into hairdressing. So I think if the younger generation want to be a good hairdresser, they have to look to the good places. That is the message that I can give to the young hairdressers. If you want to be a good hairdresser, don't go to a hairdresser salon with working with the boss alone. Go to a hairdresser salon who is working with two, three, four people. That's the only place you can learn something. The vision is bigger than a hairdresser who is working alone.
Where do we have to put our attention if we want to do it successfully?
Listen to the younger generation, how they want to do it and what they are want to do. So if you do, look at yourself. If you have to do something you don't like, will you do it a long time? I don't think so.
Because I'm lucky, Philip, because I never work.
Yeah.
I don't work. I really don't work.
That's
really good. I don't work because when I get up, it's like a positive affirmation I use, but I wanted to ask later on about yours, but a positive affirmation that I use every day is that I don't tell myself I'm going to work.
Nope.
I tell myself I'm going to give value to other people. Mm-hmm. So that's my whole mindset. I never work. But sometimes, yeah, not everyone understands you very well.
No.
So you have to explain it more deeply. Yeah. So, but maybe we can get directly to that. So what are your inspirations or philosophies or habits that you help, or that you follow to help you improve your life?
Oh, the thing that I always do is if sometimes something doesn't go the way that I have to, like that I want to go, but the things that I'm always doing is cutting hair. If there is a problem in my way or I'm overwhelmed or I'm confused, I just sit in a corner taking my mannequin head and I do something with hair cutting. So That's always my yin-yang situation or something to do. Some people go for a walk, some people go for a spin. But my thing is always, if something is going against me, I'm taking my mannequin head and I'm cutting hair. So.
Yeah, you start cutting because like, is it when you start cutting hair, you get like in a flow, you get like in a, I call it like a wave, like a surface wave, you know?
It's a positive energy that I get. So
yeah,
it's my way to keep my body calm and go with the flow. And because I love cutting structure, I love cutting very fine, and that you have to be focused in. And if you can focus your mind in one place, you forgot everything around you. So you can put it everything again in places.
And yeah, in a perspective. You can put it in a perspective.
You can see it more in perspective. And it's, if every monkey is on your shoulders, you have to get rid of the monkeys. So
That's
my thing, to get rid of the monkeys.
Yeah.
Mannequin head.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you know it's like a kind of meditation technique you use. Maybe you're not aware of it because it's called like a single-minded focus. So you focus on one thing very deeply to get rid of the clutter around you, and then you get in like in a modus where you find answers. There's always answers. It's nice to hear that because I find it interesting you do that. Yeah.
10, 15 years ago, I always go for a run, and that clears my mind, a run, because you are focused, you are in a tunnel when you are running. but my knees are not so well, so I have to find something else now. So the,
yeah,
I always find for me, if it's if I'm very nervous and I can't think right, when I'm cutting, it makes my head clear and my body calm. So for me, cutting a mannequin head is always...
It's therapy.
Therapy, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but it's a nice one. It's a nice one. So, Philip, do you like other sports, or do you, because if you don't jog, do you do other physical movements or exercises? Do you have like a special diet you follow? You have, no?
Yes, I'm following a special diet now. So
yes,
it's a special diet in the manner that give you the mind what to eat and what not to eat. But I do fitness, I do spinning, I do, I love to cook. So it's also for me a sort of meditation, cooking.
Yeah.
Discover always new things. It's like my cutting. You can ask me to do something twice again. I always do it in another way, in another perspective. And that's why I think cooking and to be a hairdresser, it's almost the same work that you do. You have to look to your ingredients. We have to look to the hair. You have to listen to the ingredients. We have to listen to our customers. So to me, cooking and to be a hairdresser, it's similar.
Yeah, it goes along. It goes along. It goes
along, yeah.
Yeah. So, so that brings us to the point, Philip, where I find that if you really want to say yes to something, you also first must be able to say no. So, are there things you became better at saying no to?
Yes, sometimes I'm a yes person. So for me, nothing is not possible. Everything is possible. There is no issue. If there is an issue you can solve, it's not an issue. It's something else. So each issue you can solve. But sometimes you have to understand the yes to say no to. If you can understand the yes, then it's much easier to say no. Because sometimes you say yes to, for example, bleaching, and you don't take the time for it, after a while you will say no to a bleaching if you don't have the time for it. You understand?
Yes. So
you first have to understand the yes to say no afterwards.
Yes.
That's a very important one.
Yeah. Because I feel that when you don't take a stand, in fact, you really have to take a stand also because people, I believe, expect it from you to take a stand and to stand for something and to give a direction. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's like also a whole process. It's a whole process because you must be able to get to that point.
Yeah.
So for you, that to get to that point is to really understand the yes.
To really understand the yes. If the client are asking something, you always can say yes, but sometimes you have to say no at the time they're in. You can do what they're asking, but not in the time that you are in. And the older that you get and the more technical that you will give yourself by education or by following some courses, the more that you know, the more that you can say yes to a situation, first no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. It's you grow in it. It's like you need to grow in it.
Yeah,
it's like a maturity. It's like a maturity you get from the lessons you learn.
Yes.
Lessons you learn. So Philip, if you look back from a higher level, say you look it from above, from a higher level, what are your most valued lessons you learned?
Honesty. If I look to something higher level, it's always the honesty that gets my attention. You work always with ego-minded people. They are all on the same level. And if once you are working at a higher level and you are on the equal level, it's honesty always keep popping up. It's not a technical side. It's not to do to show I'm better than you. You know, it's to be a giver, honesty, and equal minds. That makes the level higher and the most value in learning.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Honesty is it's but it's not always easy to be honest.
Yep.
No, it's because sometimes we know that saying the truth hurts.
But that's the same thing to say yes to something that you mean no. You see,
yeah,
if you're honest, you don't have to say it's wrong. Eh? You can be honest by saying something they understand why it's not okay. You see?
Yes.
Honesty never means breaking people down. Eh? Honesty is always to be honest. To be honest with yourself and to be honest with the participant or your client. Even with your clients, if some clients show you a picture and you know it's not possible with the quality of the hair that the clients have, you have to be honest with it. You can you have to be saying, technical wise, we can do it, but with the quality of your hair and the way that you handle your hair, it's not possible to get the picture that you're asking. So you have to be honest. And sometimes not telling is not lying. You don't tell sometimes.
Yeah.
How they have to do it, but you are honest with it.
Yeah.
And that's a big value.
Yeah, because I think that's a true one. So I think honesty is on that point also where you build confidence.
Yeah.
Because
to your clients, to your staff, to yourself, never forgetting yourself.
So because it's you have to have confidence with your staff, you have to have confidence with your clients, and then you get a bond, and then the journey can begin.
Yes,
I find it very, very nice to hear you say that, Philip, because I really appreciate you sharing this.
Yeah.
Honesty is a real, real, real important quality you need to have. Also, I think like a human being.
Yeah.
If you don't see it, you don't perceive it from a professional point of view, but even only like a human being.
Yep.
So it's a quality you can use the rest of your life.
Honesty is a gold value that I always live by. It's very important for me to surround me with people who are honest and. If somebody asks me something, I am always saying the answer that it's honest, not to say it's more than it's less, you see. So to me, it's as a person, it's very important to be very honest.
Yeah, nice. Thank you. So, Philip, what advice would you then give to young and driven hairdressing entrepreneurs?
I already said a little bit. So if you want to be a driven hairdresser and a successful entrepreneur, surround you with the people who are already being successful or driven hairdressers, and not surround you with people who are always saying, yeah, it's okay, but it's not so good. So looking for honest people, looking for givers, looking for hairdressers who are open to take you in the journey they are walking, and choose your journey besides the journey of the hairdressers. That's the main thing that I can give everybody who is starting now.
So have the courage to go your own road, to make your own movie, to go your own life, to go your own way. You have to have that courage.
Yeah,
courage. Yeah.
And ask help to people. Don't always be afraid to asking help to people, because sometimes people don't know that you are needing for help. So if you don't say it, help me, nobody's helping you. So.
No, but because isn't it like that asking for help makes us vulnerable. No, it's like you need to know that you can be vulnerable to be able to ask for help, because it's more like an ego thing, I think. Yeah. Don't you think?
Everything is about a lot of ego. Eh?
Yes, very high egos, very big egos. Yeah.
At a level, you don't have to teach somebody, some people.
No. They're, everybody knows that naturally. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it takes like a vulnerability to be able to ask for help. But I think it's a strong quality if you could have that insight as a young person. Maybe that is it's an interesting way to leverage your hard work.
Yeah.
Because that's always a question I ask my people where I surround myself with is, okay, how can you leverage your hard work? Because you're working very hard, you're doing everything like you should do it, you do it even more, but how are you going to leverage that work? So that's a brainer, you know, because I see people look at me from, what is he saying? What was he asking me? But yeah.
I think if you are a giver and you are an honest giver, the values will come to you, I believe. So
what you mean, Philip, by being an honest giver? What you mean with that?
Well, if you want some values to yourself and earnings to yourself, the clients will do it and your staff members will do it. If you are not aiming, if your biggest goal is not money. So if it's not money, you can earn yourself a lot of prices. So that's the thing I always say.
You feel that because now you have to touch that point of money. So it's an interesting point because nobody has the courage to talk about it a lot of times. But how do you feel about it? Because I experienced that money is only, it has like a cause and effect.
Yeah.
You see, it's only at the end of the chain.
Yeah. If I look into myself, when I started the business, I didn't have money. I didn't have money when I started my business.
Me neither.
I didn't have the feeling that I am losing something because I didn't have nothing. The older that you get and the more work that you provide, the more money that comes into the wallet. And that's the thing that the problem starts mostly, because then you're looking after your money, not for your money. And that is the thing that I always look about. Money is not for me the end results. Happiness is the end results. And if people are happy around you, you are happy. And if you are happy, everything goes around, but not the money.
Yeah, I see that a lot when I do that for years now. When you study the very great entrepreneurs in our world, and you imagine the money they already make or made or what their companies are worth, and even then they keep going. They keep going. They are not dreaming about stopping and getting to one or another island and doing nothing the whole day. So it makes me always wonder, because they must have an incredible passion to do what they are doing.
I think they are enjoying every day what they are doing.
Yeah, they are not working. They're not working.
That's like you said, that's not working. When you are doing something that makes you happy and making you feeling good, for example, get to sport or go for a walk or something, that's more a hobby. So, and now we are in Belgium, we are in time-wise, the working hours are less than the spending free time hours. So for now, if we have to get free time instead of working time, it's a very big gap between. So
yeah,
we have to enjoy what we are doing every day. So.
Yeah, you have a feeling there is a we lost the balance there.
I think we have lost the balance a little bit more to. Each time we have to do something, it's in our free time. But when do you have free time? I have free time when I'm working, because then I'm doing something that I love to do.
Yes.
The free time for me is the Sunday. That's the only day I have to do something free. Mostly it's doing something that you need to do. For example, your garden or washing your car or doing all sorts of things.
Yeah.
So for me, the most time that I have is my working time, but my working time is my hobby time. So I'm
That's like a kind of richness in its own, no, isn't it?
Richness without money.
Yes. Yeah, but at the end, Philip, you can have all the money in the world, you don't take anything with you.
Yeah.
So you put your focus on a different level, and I find it very nice, very nice. Yes. Okay, that's a nice one. So anyway, I think we covered a lot of interesting topics here. So I wanted to thank you very, very much for sharing this knowledge with me and to sharing this tremendous gift of knowledge with our listeners also. So I would like to thank you a lot, and I hope to see you and hear you again very soon.
Very soon.
Okay. Thank you, Philip.
Edmel, thank you again for this podcast interview, and it was very pleasant to do it with you.
Thank you very much. Okay.